Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
All right, let's cut this intro short. Let's go ahead and get started. My brothers and my sisters, welcome, 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 welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, February the 3rd of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. Your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, we've got an old message, but it's an important message because I want to shine some new light on this scripture by Paul. Everybody knows Romans 8:28. Not everybody, but most people understand Romans 8:28, 29, and 30. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So we know that all things work together for our good. Now, we know it, but we don't know it. Because if we did know it, then we wouldn't react to the things that happen in our life. If we honestly knew that all things, now again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, nor am I the brightest bulb in the pack. But I do understand that the definition of this word all means it's inclusive of everything. So the scripture says that all things, and so when you get that bad report, when something bad happens in your life, when something that doesn't make sense, and when somebody tells you something that you've been imaging, something that you've been imagining, something that you've taken from the invisible realm, and you brought it to the visible realm, and then somebody tells you that, oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. How, it's not what happens to you, it's how. It's how you react. It's how you perceive what's happening. I'm not saying that you act like it doesn't happen. I'm not saying that you don't act like it's not real. I'm just saying that you put your faith, that you put all your marbles in one bag, and this bag is the bag of optimism. It's the bag of if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail in faith. I'm not going to fail in fear. So I'm going to go all the way to my grave believing. When they put me in a box, I'm still going to be believing. I'm not dead. Or whatever happened is not happening. That's faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my evidence is not seen. My evidence is metaphysical. Everybody else, if they got a car and they drive away, then they got a car. But the Bible says if you can see it, then that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen. So imaging, bringing in things into reality, first of all, if you're bringing something into reality that already exists, that's not faith. You see, brothers and sisters, notice it says we know. Usually the Bible talks about belief. Speaking of Romans 8:27, he that searches the heart knoweth and believe. He that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we can go to Romans 8:26, and I'm going in reverse order. But Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 8:25. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he need hope? So let me tell you the true destiny of mankind. Now, this is going to be a little outside of your Christian box. So, again, like all my shows, it comes with a warning. This show is not for new believers. This show is for people who are mature, spiritualologists, people who understand truthology. We're not in traditions. Well, I'm not in a tradition. I'm in the truth. And so the truth says something that is really nerve-wracking when you think about it. First of all, the truth says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. So as long as you have a letheia, as long as you have this love of God, then everything that you're doing works for you. And we've broken down that word God, and we know that it means both care, and it means voice, and it means, you know, a lot of other things. But at the end of the day, God is in you, operating as you, manifesting himself through you. Let me say that again. God is in you, operating as you, manifesting himself through you. So as long as you love yourself, then everything that happens to you, God's going to take it and use it for your good. Now, this word work together is an interesting word. It's where we get this word, or where I get the word, synergy. Now, again, Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people that's listening to this show today. Because this is a very, very important message if you can understand it.
Strong's G, 4903. Synergeo. Synergeo.
Synergeo. Synergeo. Synergeo. That means to be a fellow co-worker. It means co-worker. It means cooperation. It means co-help. So every event that happens in your life is a co-worker. Is working with you, is a partner in labor. It means to put forth power together. So let me make sure you understand, because when a negative event happens in your life, and it will, and it shows up, it is a co-worker. It is sent into your life to work with you. Let me say that again. When that negative event happens, all things work together for your good. It means cooperation. Now, because we can't see the big picture, we do not understand that temporary setback is a permanent setup. So when you have a temporary setback, it's because God is permanently setting you up. So you have a setback for the setup. So you must understand that every setback is good because it's for the setup. So I have a setback. Great. I'm excited. Because what? That means I'm getting set up. I'm getting set up because, again, everything works synergetically for your good. It is a fellow co-worker. So it is your companion in work. Wow. So when something bad or good happens, every event that happens in my life, every event. The scripture says we know. It didn't say that we believe. We know. Now, there's a big difference between knowing and believing. See, I'm not a believer. I dislike believers. Because believers, they don't have no experience to go with what they believe. See, a knower, the difference between a believer, now the Bible says that the devil and his demons, they know the word. They tremble at the word, but they don't do the word. The difference between a believer and a knower. So all you good believers, all you good Christians out there who believe in Christ, I don't believe in Christ. I know Christ. It's a big difference. So I got personal experience to go with my belief system. Everybody else is teaching theory. I teach theorem. I teach provable, past tense. Everything I talk about is past tense. I'm not talking about nothing that I'm hoping for. I want to talk about something I've already done. See, we know, at least let me rephrase that, I know that all things work together for my good. Because I know that I have love. I'm not talking about Stratton J and all these other types of love. You guys know that there's 5 different types of love. I'm talking about this.
Strong's
G25, agapao. Agapao, where we get agape from. Agapao is a Greek word that means fond of. It means well-pleasing. It means content with. Now, there are higher levels in different other types of love, but this is a moral or social type of love. This means that I see value and worth in me because I am my own G. Now, what does that mean? That is, I'm a mini version of a macro. You guys remember macro and microeconomics in school? Well, the macro is God, the micro is you. So you are a mini version, you are a mini version of a bigger version. Come on, Brother Will. Okay, hang on. I got some more nuggets to throw at you. He said, so we know that I know that all things work together for my good. So every day I wake up and I have love for myself and to them who are called according to his purpose. So I know I'm called because I know I have purpose. And I know my purpose puts me in a position because it comes from a person. So the person is Yahuwah and his son Yahushua. And they gave me a position, and inside of this position, I'm a member of a kingdom inside of the Messianic or the Morning Star administration, and in that, I have something to do. I just don't have an office, but my office, and I just don't have a title. I just don't walk around calling myself Master Teacher 33 because I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm not out here doing didactic teaching. It's because I'm bored. I'm doing all of this because I have purpose. Now, the Bible talks about, people that don't have purpose, they cast off restraint. They do not have the ability to exercise self-control. So anytime you meet a thug on the street, anytime you meet somebody gangbanging, anytime you meet somebody slinging dope, anytime you meet somebody, prostituting women, anytime you meet somebody engaging in any type of activity, you're looking at a fool with no purpose. Period. Because where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. How do I know? Because I didn't read it in the book. I spent 40 years with no purpose. I spent 40 years doing crazy stuff. So I got experience, so now I know. I'm not a believer. I'm a knower. Totally different. There's a lot of believers out there. That's cool. You got to start somewhere. But after you get tired, you want to go from being a believer to being a knower. And when you become a knower, now your whole world changes, and Romans 8:29 applies to you. Romans 8:29, one of the most important scriptures you'll ever read. I could spend about at least 12 hours talking about Romans 8:29, minimum. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknew, number one. He did predestine, number two. To be conformed, number three. To the image, number four, of his son, number five. That he might be the firstborn, number six, of many brethren, number seven. Let's go to the seven keys of the kingdom. If you don't understand nothing in your life, you need to understand Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 is the foundation of eternal life. If you do not understand Romans 8:29, you do not have eternal life. Because the eternal life is not out there. I'm in eternal life right now. I'm in eternity right now. I step in and out of it. I'm like, why do you think quantum physics states that according to quantum physics, the neutrinos, the subatomic particles in quantum physics, they pop in and out of reality? Now, John 10 says it this way. John says, I'm the good shepherd. I stand at the gate. My sheep go in and out. They find good pasture. If you are not going in and out, that means if you're not going from eternity to from morality to immorality, from eternity to what they call localization, non-eternity, if you're not going in and out, you're not finding green pasture. That means that you're just trying to be moral. Now, this is not taught in traditional Christendom. I understand. But unfortunately, I got science, I got biology, and I got spirituality, biblical text, and I got non-canonized text to back up. And more importantly, I got personal experience. So what this is saying, my brothers and my sisters, is that quantum physics is how the universe of God works. On a subatomic level, the Bible is a book about quantum physics. It is a book about how your body interacts with eternity. It's a book about how you are supposed to gain eternity. Yahushua came so that way you could follow him, not worship him. Now, the goal is that you do both, follow and worship. But the word worship, unfortunately, means work for. So when you worship him, you work for him. Now, how many people, including yourself, that work for Yahushua? Very few. Most people are hirelings. Now, the Bible talks about a hireling. You can always tell. Because a hireling, when he sees the wolf come, he runs, and he lets the wolf comes in and scatter the sheep. A hireling doesn't stand and fight for the sheep. A hireling doesn't take the sheep and teach them how to withstand the hireling and the wolf. A hireling is there for the hire. He gets his wages and he's out. That's a hireling. But a shepherd is there because the shepherd is actually concerned for the sheep. That's a big difference. So what this is saying, my brothers and sisters, is that it is your job to understand the difference between these seven keys of the kingdom. Let's go through each one of the keys very quickly. Romans 8:29, key number one, for whom he did foreknew. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have been foreknew. That means you had a prior existence. That means that you used to exist with the Father. Now, the only way that you can be on this planet is if for some reason or another you made a decision, a choice, to either not side with the Morningstar administration or to side with the Falling Star demonstration. Now, you don't remember it because according to the Book of Creation, non-canonized text, before you entered into the birth canal, and notice when you came into this world, you came in upside down. Notice you came out of the mother's womb, out of the birth, out of the mother's womb. And when you came in upside down. So in the Book of Isaiah, it says he takes, turn it upside down. So everything in this universe is upside down. The earth is upside down heaven. Now, that's another study for another time. But let me make sure that you understand first base. The number one thing that you got to understand is this Greek word that means the English word for
new. Strong's G, 4267, prognosko. Prognosko.
Prognosko means knowledge before him. Prognosko means I knew you before you got here. So what the Father is saying that, dude, I already know you. Now, you may not remember me, but I remember you. So what the Father is telling you that you had a prior existence, that means that there's prior knowledge before you came into this dimension of you. Now, it means that they would love him, 2 Peter 3:17. So God foreknew. So that way God could, or that way God knows. Now, God knows that he foreloved you, meaning God knew that you loved him, meaning beforehand, before this, before you became a hue man, hue, color, man existence, color is bent light. So before you fell, before your light was bent, before you became hue. Now, if you shine light, white light through a prism, P-R-I-S-M, which really is a prison, P-R-I-S-O-N. Earth is a prison planet. It's a atmosphere. It's a sphere circle for atoms, A-T-O-M, for atoms. You're made up of atoms. This is a prison for atoms. It traps atoms here, traps light beams. So you're a light being trapped. So God said, yeah, before you were sent to prison, I knew you. Number one, prior existence. Number one, predestination. Number one, again, you, brothers and sisters, you have prognosko. Now, pro means before. So anytime you see the word P-R-O in Greek, it means before. So that word is two words. The first word, P-R-O, means before. Now, the second word of this Greek word, prognosko, means?
Strong's G, 1097. Gnosko.
So gnosko means before gnosko. So prior or pre-gnosko, and if we break it down and we separate it, it means before gnosko. So that means before and then perceiving or knowledge or understanding. So everything that you perceive, everything, all the knowledge that you have right now, everything that you know, before this, something else existed. So now you don't remember it because you dropped from the sea of forgetfulness. But the Father does. So the Father is telling you, I already know you. Now, you don't know me, so let me tell you about you. So if you don't get your information about yourself from the Father, you are setting up a new pattern, a new paradigm, a new operating system, a new purpose. That's why where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So the only way that you can find purpose, you got to go to where it existed before you got here, which is why I do Dear Kinnear reports based upon theomathematics and biblical alphanumerics, meaning Dear Kinnear report is not based upon something on earth. It's based upon something prior to you getting to earth. So in other words, if you do not connect with your prior existence with the Father, in other words, you're supposed to be doing on earth what you did in heaven. Now, my name in Hebrew means Bethesiel. So before I got here, I was building temples up there. So I come down to earth, and I'm doing the exact same thing that I was doing up there. I'm doing down here. Therefore, like Yahushua, when they see me, when the demons see me, they say, oh, we recognize him. Yeah, because know what? In the invisible realm, he was casting out devils up there. So down here, I'm doing the same thing here that I did up there. So in my prior existence, see, all I did is I tapped into what they call inside of my DNA. While on the cover of every of your blood cells, they have a membrane. Now, your membrane on the surface of your cell, the word mem, M-E-M-E, which I triple that, anybody go to dictionary.com and look it up. That is the thing that changes the biological expression of your gene. So your membrane is your memory brain. So on the surface of all of every cell is memory. Now, science says that you have past life memories inside of your cells. Your cells and all of your ancestors, their memories is hidden inside of your cells. Well, guess what? And according to the halls of how you pronounce it, Alamiti, all this Egyptian stuff, all this is nothing new. They got all this stuff from the Egyptians. Now, what is this simply saying? This simply saying that inside of your DNA is all of your memories. That's the same thing that the word for new means. So, number one, God for new you. So all you got to do is tap into your memory. And what it does, it activates your DNA. It unfolds your DNA. That's what I'm doing with 25 people and 217. Now, what does that mean? That means according to exactly what the Bible says. Romans 8 says that God predestined us to be conformed. Go to second base, conformed. So I'm not second base, predestined. So God knew us. We don't remember him, but he remembers us. So he says, that, hey, I remember you. And we're like, who are you? Yeah, I know. Your body don't remember me, but your spirit does. That's what God always appeals to, our spirit. So God foreknew us, number one. Number two, he says, for whom he did foreknew. So it's easy to recognize your son. It's like if your son goes somewhere to a grocery store, and then he goes to another grocery store, and you walk in, regardless, no matter what grocery store your son goes into, you're going to know your son. Because why? You knew him at home. It's like my son lived with me. Now he left. Now he's up at the University of Texas in Austin. So if I drive up to UT Austin right now, and I walk around campus, do you think when I see my son, I'm not going to recognize him? No matter where my son goes on this earth, when I see him, I recognize him. That's what foreknew means. God is saying, I don't care where you go. I know you. I know you. That's what it means, brothers. So God is saying, hey, I know you. And then God says something else. Since I know you, Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestinate. Now, strap in, brothers and sisters. It's about to get a little busy, a little bumpy. So he foreknew you.
4309. Prarizo.
So the universe is saying that, hey, I already know you, and I prazizoed you. That means I predetermined. I decided beforehand. Now, you think that the path that you're on, you're making decisions. Now, I know everybody, because people tell me this all the time. Brother Will, I got free will. And I even heard you say, Brother Will, we got free will. I said you got limited free will. I said that you're a dog on a leash. You can go as free. You can run buck wild. You can do anything you want. As long as that leash, you're like a baby in a crib. That baby can go anywhere he want inside that crib. You got free will on earth. You can go anywhere you want on earth. Try to leave this planet if you got free will. So people tell me, yeah, I got unlimited free will, dude. I can do anything I want. Really? Let me see you transfigure yourself. Let me see you just, you know, go to Mars and come back. Yeah, that's what I thought. You ain't got free will. You got limited free will. You're just like a prisoner in a supermax prison. He's free in that prison. So are you. You're free in this prism. You are trapped inside of an electromagnetic spectrum, this light band, according to science. You are a part. Do you know that you're only 1% of the electromagnetic spectrum? One. Less than one. What is the other 99%? Now, you think you're free, and there's 99 other entities walking around. You don't know them, but they know you. You can't even see them. You can't touch them. You can't smell them. You can't taste them. You can't hear them. But we are all knowing. We are all powerful, right? That's what the Bible says. We're little children. That's what God calls us sheep. That's why they say we're lower than well done. Because we're the babies of the universe. We're baby G's. That's why God has to protect us from these bigger G's. There's 99 other entities out there that they want to kick your butt. They are just foaming at the mouth just to get their hands on you. But God said, sorry, can't touch them. Why? God has you in a protective bubble. Because why? He decided beforehand. The word predazo means God predetermined. God predecided, and he put it inside of your DNA. It's called your life path. Without this understanding of your appointment, it says that you have been divinely appointed. That means that you have been ordained in advance. So let me make sure you understand. Number one, God says, I already know you. Number two, God says, you already have a job. So you come to Earth and you go to school to become an electrician. God's like, what is he doing? He already got a job. But you went to school to be an electrician. God said, but you don't know who he is. He's my son. He's not no electrician. God is waiting. The Bible says all of creation is groaning. The whole earth is waiting on you to stop being an electrician and start doing what God has called you to do. But you don't know. You don't even know what your purpose is. You just went around slinging dope and sleeping with women. You don't know what else you're going to do. You ain't got nothing else to do. Well, purpose is not known. Abuse is inevitable. When I found my purpose, my whole life changed. Purpose is the only thing that matters. Nothing on earth is more important than purpose. People tell me all the time, what's the most important thing on earth? Nothing is more important than purpose. You got to know, brothers and sisters, that you have been predestined. For what, though? So God knew me in heaven. I did something up there. I got kicked out of heaven. It's like Lucifer far. And I fell down into this consciousness. And so as a light being, I'm trapped down here, and I'm trapped inside of a carbon vessel, according to Jude 6. So my DNA is a chain. That's why your DNA looks like a chain. It keeps you trapped. Your DNA actually is the chain that holds you inside your body. Another study for another time. So your DNA keeps you trapped there, according to Jude 6. We are chained inside of everlasting darkness. Angels, that's what you are. Now, I know that's contrary to your pop, to your belief, but you're a fallen angel. Now, I got proof, science, I got everything that can prove it. But the word angel means messenger. Now, you got a message, just like I do. And your message fell down this dimension. That don't mean that, again, God is not an Indian giver. God says that his gifts are without recompense. That means that when you fail, he didn't take them back. So God says the way that you get back to heaven is the same way you left. You reverse engineer it. Why you got kicked out? Same way. That's the same way. The way that you got kicked out is the way that you got kicked in. How did Lucifer get kicked out of heaven? Remember? How did Lucifer get kicked out of heaven? Remember? Lucifer said, I want to be like the Most High. But the Most High said, hold up, time out, homie. You got a job. Lucifer said, no, I want to sit on the side of the north. God said, no, you're the anointed cherub that covered. Get your behind back on here. No, I want to be worshipped too. See, Lucifer had a job, but like me and like you, he wanted somebody else's job. It's called envy. The Bible says in James 3, where there is bitter envy, this is the only way, my brother, this is the only way, my sister, that you got out. And guess what? This is the only way you get back in. Get in your position. Right now, you're out of position. Right now, you're doing somebody else's purpose. Right now, you're running somebody else's race. Right now, you're focusing on your neighbor. You want his car. You want his wife. You want his job. You want everybody else except you're so busy trying to be somebody else because you hate yourself. Now, how the hell did I know that? I spent 40-plus years hating myself. Just now getting to the place that I love me some me. 30 days ago, I didn't like me. In fact, it was a very dark place. 30 days ago. I've been preaching and teaching this for 20 years. But the veil was lifted about 30 days ago. What happened 30 days ago, brothers and sisters? You know what happened 30 days ago? My definition, I saw that my definitions were flawed. My definitions were flawed. So I was flawed. Because whoever determines the definitions, because definitions are definitions. I didn't know that. Now, I teach it, but I didn't know it. So I had to go through it. Now that I've been through it, sucky now. Devil got to watch out. Because, see, the definitions that you use, they ain't definitions. They're definitions. Let me say it again. Your definitions are definitions. Who's the definitions? Anybody remember the definitions? Oh, yeah. They are the one who gave us the phoenix. Remember that? Out of the ashes rises the phoenix. Ouroboros. All of the ancient secret society has this word over their doorpost. They all have this phrase called Ouroboros. O-R-B-A-B-O-R-A. A serpent swallowing his own tail. The phoenix rising out of the ashes. Out of chaos, out of order. Their slogan. They're trying to produce chaos. What do y'all think Donald Trump is in office? What is Donald Trump doing? What is his job? Chaos. Now, if you... Let me back up. I'm about to say something, get myself in trouble. If certain folk are not, you know, spiritually inclined, and they fall for what Donald Trump is doing, and they get their panties in the water, then it's going to usher in this era of chaos. Unfortunately, I know that there's more bright bulbs out here than there are dim bulbs. So I know that the bright bulbs is going to override the dim bulbs. But they're going to try because that's their job. Your job is to understand Romans 8:29. You got a job that you left. And until you go back to your position, now the word Christ means the messianic office that furnished the person in that office with power, dunamis power, to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy. As long as they are in that office, the devil's only job, he only got one job, get you out of office. You only got one job, get your behind back in your office. That's your only job. Every day, all day, 24/7, 365, only thing that, only thought in your head is what I am doing right now, today, taking me to and keeping me in my dear Kenya. That's it. Because that's conformed. That's your job, to be conformed. So God said, okay, I knew you in heaven. You left. You had a job. I created you for this job for eternity. You saw something. I don't know what you saw, but you saw it. And you say, you know what? I'm out. And God said, okay, later. And so you decided to fall into this dimension of demonstration. Now you're no longer part of the Morningstar administration. You're part of the demonic or the fallen star demonstration. That's why everybody is demonstrating, meaning everybody do stuff. Because you're part, you got to demonstrate. So you go to church, you turn over a few chairs, you know, foam at the mouth. You got to demonstrate. You got to be active. You got to be moving. You got to vibrate. That's why everything on this earth vibrates. To be in this dimension, you got to vibrate. But you didn't come from a vibrational dimension. You came from a dimension that was still, and know that I am God. But up there, you was bored. Or something happened, and you say, hey, it looks good down here. And you came down here. So God said, okay, yep, you're here now. Now what? We've got to understand Romans 8:29. And it says, for whom he did foreknew, we broke that down, he predestined. That means that just because you left your job up there, that doesn't mean that God took your job back. So God said, okay, if you can remember me, and if you can remember that I've predetermined and designed you for a specific task, you can be conformed. Now, this is where it gets a little deep. Because Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. See, when you are conformed, you are proving to yourself that you are yourself. So right now, I'm proving to myself that I am Bethesiel. That means that I build temples. Right now, what am I doing? I got the Cleonomics Temple Building DNA Program. Now, I just pulled it out of thin air. I was sitting around. I said, hey, I need something to do. I wrote 50 books, did a bunch of shows, and I said, hey, man, I'm good at this. You know what? When I talk, certain shit's going to start to happen. So I'm thinking I just discovered something powerful and awesome. And God is up there in heaven shaking his head. Look at this fool. He don't remember. He really think he's doing something. He don't even know I designed him to do that. That's in his blueprint. So I've been, as long as I don't conform, as long as I don't go after the world, then God said, guess what? I am going to show you. I'm going to make you into the image of my son. Now, I'm already a son, but I stopped being a son. And God said, okay, you want to come back home? And I said, yes, sir, I want to come back home. He said, okay, same way you left, same way you got to come back. You got to reverse engineer it. So I'm predestined to be conformed. Now, this word conformed is a very, very interesting word in the Greek. Because this word actually means to be fashioned.
G 48:32. Sumorphos.
Sumorphos. Now, morphos means form. Morphos or Morpheus is the god of dreams. So it's sumorphos. Sumorphos. So this word conformed means similar to. So it's sumorphos. So that means that there's a form that you need to be sum. Now, sum in the Greek is spelled like sun, S-U-N. So that means you got to be similar to the sun, S-U-N. Now, I'm a good Egyptology brothers, man. They would love this because they believe that the sun is God. So that word, it means that you have to become together with. You have to become one. You have to associate. You have to become the companion of. You have to resemble brothers and sisters. That means that your form should resemble the S-U-N. That's what conformed means. Now, I know that's a cookie blower. But what does it mean? Because what does the S-U-N do? It provides life. That's what you're supposed to be doing. The S-U-N's brightness, the rays of the sun, does what to this earth? If there is no sun, what happens to the earth? There's no heat. There's no season. No plants. Everything dies. So if there is, you don't find your purpose, what happens to you? Everywhere you go, you should be the S-U-N. What should you do? Just think. From today forward, you should live your life like the S-U-N. If you don't go and shine, everywhere you go, you should freaking bring light, brother. You should bring heat, sister. You should animate. You should make people grow. That's what the sun does. You're supposed to be conformed to the image of the S-U-N. The word conformed means that you do the similar things in nature. That means it's sin morph. Turn it around. Morph, which means form. Sin, which means son. Form of the son. So God foreknew and he predestined you to be conformed. That means that you're going to be changed. You're going to have the predisposition of. You're going to have the resemblance. You're going to be instrumentally, compositely similar in application and completeness. That's what the word conform means. So by being conformed, that means that I am now starting to get back to my original place. So God said, hey, I already know this. He said, I predetermined for you to do this. Now I want you to start being conformed, start acting like the Son, because when you do that, you take on the image. Now, y'all strapped in? This word image.
Strong's G, 1504, icon.
Where did Akon get his name from? I know where Akon got his name from. Icon. Spelled icon. So what is Akon trying to tell you? The word Akon means heavenly thing. It means a likeness of a heavenly. Now the sun is in the heavens. So conform to the pixel or the icon. That means that you have, it is the image of a heavenly thing. It's the figure. It's the likeness. So that means that you, my anointed brother, you, my educated sister, should be exactly whatever the S-U-N and the S-O-N is doing, you should be doing the exact same thing. Exactly. So when I look at you, like Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. You should be so much like the Father that them demons like, is that? It's like Oboe and the Lion King. You know, when what was the little lion was and his dad, Mufasa, when that's one scene where he was roaring. I love that scene because when he roared, the hyena started laughing. But when Mufasa roared, yeah, them hyenas wasn't laughing no more. See, when you roar, the devil, you speak your words, and the devil laughs. But when you speak God's words, yeah, things start to happen, brothers and sisters. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. See, underneath this word econ, there is another word, another Greek word. Let's go another layer deep so that way you can understand the image.
Jude 15:03. Ico. Ico.
Ico. Kind of like, it's spelled kind of like icon or Nikon or Nike. So Ico means to be like. Now, let me make sure you understand what that saying. To be like. It means a copy. It means to be like something so much that it is considered a duplicate, a copy. Let me make sure you understand where I get my power from. Let me make sure you understand why I walk around and I talk mad shiznits. Let me make sure you understand why I fear no devils and no demons. Let me make sure you understand why I create my reality. Let me make sure you understand why I'm oscillating and vibrating in wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. Great ones. Let me make sure you understand. Because I'm a copy of God on earth. I'm an individualization of God on earth. Let me make sure you understand, because you're not going to get this in church. Let me make sure you understand. I don't pray to God. I pray as God. Let me make sure you understand the difference, because I'm a copy. I'm his ambassador. I'm his representative. The Bible says I'm an ambassador of Christ. The Bible says I'm a royal priest. I am his representative on earth. He gave me his power. As long as I'm in his position, I have his power to exercise his business on earth. He says, you're an extension of me on earth. So therefore, when I walk around, they have to respect me the same way that they respect him, because I'm his representative. Do you know that the ambassador of the United States, when he go over to the, do you know that the embassy is considered sovereign territory of the United States in a foreign country? So when you are an ambassador of the United States and you're stationed in Africa, that piece of land in Africa is actually considered a piece of the United States. So whatever you do to that piece of land, you're actually doing it to the sovereignty of the United States. So if you bomb the embassy in a foreign country, that's a declaration of war. It's just like bombing the United States. So anytime somebody does something to you, it's just like they're doing it to God. But as long as you don't know that, then you can't demand or expect that. And the universe doesn't respond to you because, again, you're an absentee landlord. And the devil is in the seat of your soul, oscillating and vibrating as you. Because, again, you don't know you. You don't know that you have dominion. So the devil took, so when Yahushua died, he went out to the depths of hell, and he took back the keys to death and the grave. And now he says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Why? You got it. It's called a telomere. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's continue. We are on number 4. We got 3 more to go. So we've been foreknown. God says, hey, y'all are light beings. Y'all used to be up here. Now y'all down there, but you're still a light being. I remember that when I made you, I designed you for a specific task. Now, the devil has convoluted, or he's put a veil over your eyes, so you don't remember your past. And so now I got to get you to be conformed back to the image. So you had an image, but you lost it. Now I got to get you back to that image. And I got to get you conformed back. That means you got to be like. That means you got to be a copy of what? You are a copy of the Son. Now, the word conformed actually means the S-U-N. But it says, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his S-O-N. So not only are you the S-U-N, your image, you are a direct copy. You look so much like it. So now everybody thinks that you are the Son. So now when the Bible says that we are joint heirs, royal priests, we are the offspring, it's because we are being conformed into the image of his Son.
Strong's G, 5207. We us.
We are spelled H-U-I-O-S. We are. It's pronounced W-E-O-S, but it's H. So we are. We are. So the Greek word we are, it means offspring. It says, in a restricted sense, the male offspring, one born by a father and of a mother. So God is saying he wants you to be a we are. Now, brothers and sisters, now, I don't know about you, but everything that when you are a weos, everything that the original weos has, you have. Now, if you are an adopted weos, if you're an adopted son, now, let's say I adopted some children. Now, what rights does the adopted children have that's different than the biological children? Now, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but last time I checked that, you know, the adopted kids, stepkids, have the same rights as the biological ones. Do they not? Again, I'm not adoption specialist, but all I know is usually the adopted children, stepchildren, are treated exactly like the biological ones, at least from a position of being an heir. Now, I'm hoping you're starting to understand and the light's starting to come on. God says, I foreknew you, and then I designed you, but I designed you in a way that you are to be like the Son. And you're supposed to be an identical copy of my Son, my biological Son. Now, you've been grafted in as a Gentile. I'm going to graft you in. I'm going to bring you into the sheepfold. Even though you're not my biological son, I'm going to bring you in, and you're going to be an adopted. And so since I am adopting you into my kingdom, so that you might be, the reason all of this is happening, this is very important. This is the reason why I do everything that I do. This is my job, is to help you to understand your true, this is the destiny of mankind. Now, I don't know what they preach in church. You know, you die, heaven and hell, all this stuff. I don't know about all of that. I don't know. I don't know where they got this from. All I know is that everybody is going to be conformed to the image of the Son. That we might be the first fruits or the firstborn. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the good part. This is the shouting part. So if you know, this is the part in church where you know, turn over some chairs and you foam at the mouth, do all that stuff. This is the demonstrative part. Because, see, God foreknew you. He predestined you, pre-programmed you. So there's a program running, but it's been replaced. Remember, you've been hijacked. This is your original design. Right now, as I'm talking, none of this makes sense, probably. Now, it's probably registering logically, but it's not registering in your heart. Because if it was in your heart, right now, you would walk off, probably, I may not say that, because depending on, all I know is, if this registered with you, what happened to me 30 days ago is going to be happening to you right now. There's going to be something that's going to well up inside of you, and you're not going to take BS no more. That means you're not going to settle. That means that you're not going to allow people to tolerate you. You're only going to allow people to elevate you. That means that you're only going to vibrate on a certain frequency. That means that the BS now, you don't change nothing. You don't change. You don't leave your job. You don't leave spouse, mates. You know, you don't kick your children out. You don't go home, kick the dog. No, because why? That's demonstrated. That's demonic. Anytime you do something with your hands and your feet, that's you're under the spell of Lucifer. Everything I'm talking about is mental. That means if your brain don't change, brother, if your brain doesn't change, sister, you didn't get what I just said. So you got to re-listen to this tape over and over again until it registers. It may take you a few times. It took me 40 years, so it might take you a little while. So don't rush it. But all I'm simply saying, one day, maybe not today, one day it's going to click. And then you're going to be the firstborn. You're going to be reborn. This is what they call, you know, when you get reborn or baptized in salvation and all this stuff. This is what they're talking about. Unfortunately, they're just going about it the wrong way. Because like I told anybody, if anybody, I give anybody $1,000, if you can show me an altar call in the Bible, anybody, call me 210-290-5927. If you can find where Yahushua did an altar call in the Bible, if you can show me in the Bible what they do, everybody stand up, I'm going to come down to the altar and lay hands on you, and you get saved. If you can find it in the Helios Biblios and anywhere inside the Bible, please call me. I want to see that. So I want to know why we do altar calls in church. If somebody can tell me that, please call me. 210-290-5927. Text me, call me, email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. I've been looking for it for 50 years, and I can't find it. So maybe somebody knows something that I don't, because I don't know why we do it. But anyway, that's another study for another time. But this is how you get reborn, brother. This is how you get reborn, sister. First, let's go into the text. Now, this is not the only place where Yahushua says this is the true destiny of mankind. This is why you're on earth. You're on earth so you get back to heaven. Now, it's not a mystical place. This is what you should be doing every day.
Strong's G 4416. Prototikos.
Prototikos. That means firstborn. So prokatikos means begotten. It means first begotten. The first begotten. Remember that son? Remember that word, begotten son? Now, brothers and sisters, begotten, what does that mean? If you have been begotten. So what the Bible is telling us, what this book is telling us, is that if you are the first begotten, that means it's going to be other begottens, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But he's the first begotten son. So when we say first begotten, prototikos in the Greek, in the book of Revelation, it talks about this first begotten as well. Revelation 1:5 in the New Living, let me break this down in the New Living, it says, for Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things. He is the first to rise from the dead. And the ruler of all the kings of the earth. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Now, in the King James, that same verse says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. The prince of the kings of the earth. Now, he's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Who is the other kings and who are the other lords? Brother, sister. So Yahushua is the firstborn of many. So whatever he is, you are. Let me say that again. Now, you can worship him all you want. But, you know, not only I'm going to work for him, I'm going to follow him because he's my elder brother. That's what the Bible says. He's the firstborn of many brethren. That's where we're going with this. Let me make sure you understand, brothers and sisters, because I don't know if you really, really, really understand what I'm saying. This Greek word, prototikos. This simply means, my brothers and sisters, that there is a new species that has never been germinated before. So what the Father decided to do was like, okay, we don't know what we shall be, but we shall be like him. Remember? When Yahushua rose from the dead and he put on a glorified body. And so that means that he is the first one. So he's the word firstborn means that not only he has superiority in his lineage, if you want to use that term, but it means he has authority among all of God's creatures. See, this word, according to the Septuagint, it means the highest of the species on the earth, Psalms 89:27. So it means that the word or the logos has the governing power over all creation. So it means that he's the firstborn of all creation. That's why all the creation right now is waiting on us. Because it says that, hey, they're first. So they got to develop into their godhood first before we can. So what does it say, brothers and sisters? Let me make sure you understand now. Colossians 1:15, I think. Yeah, Colossians 1:15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, brothers, sisters, your son. That's what we just read. So you are, this scripture in Colossians 1:15 is actually talking about you. It's saying that you are now in the image of the invisible God. So when Jesus says, hey, the disciples, remember they asked him, man, how long are we going to be with you, dude, before we see the Father? Jesus says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. So stop looking. So if somebody said, hey, you know what? I want to pray to that God that you pray to. Well, you ain't got to pray to me. Just pray like I do. Why? Because I'm his representative on earth. Why? It says, Colossians 1:15, that I am in the image of the invisible God and that I am the firstborn over all creation. That's you, brother. That's you, sister. You are the firstborn. That means that we are the first of a whole new species. It means all things that have been created by him and through him, Colossians 1:16. So that means, my brothers and sisters, that we are what they call primogenitor, sovereign. That means primo, P-R-I-M-O, primo. Now, that's a whole other study for another time. It simply means that you are the firstborn among many brethren. That's number 7. We're almost out of time, so let's get to the last piece, number 7. So you're the first, but there's going to be a whole bunch of more that comes after you. So they're saying Jesus is the first one, but Jesus is not the only one, according to the scriptures. It says Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first born among many brethren. Many. Now, again, that word many in the original text.
Strong's G, 4183. Palus. Palus.
Palus. The word palus, again, many, it means large number. Palus, large. Large number. That means a bunch of them. It didn't say how many, but it's a lot of them. So there's going to be a lot of little Yahushuas running around, made in his image. And we're all going to be, last piece of the puzzle, brothers. Nobody's a God over anybody else. Because according to Genesis 1, God gave us all dominion over 5 things. 5, according to Genesis 1. We have dominion over 5 things. Nowhere can I find in Genesis 1, 2, 3, where God gave dominion of one man over another man. Nowhere I can find it. So if you can find it, again, please call me, please email me, I'll give you $1,000. If you can show me where God gave, in the book of Genesis, when he created man, and he said you got dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl in the air, he lists 5 kingdoms. God gave man dominion over 5 kingdoms. Nowhere did God give one man dominion over another man. Nowhere. Why are you following, or why are you, oh man, I don't even get on that kick. Because see, I was a natural born idiot. I was willing to take a bullet for the dude I followed. I got treated like whale scum, and I liked it. That's what's so sad. You know, that's what happened to me 30 days ago. I realized that I was happy eating crumbs off the table. And God would say, Negro, sit at the table and eat the steak. I'm like, no, God, I want to sit on the floor with the dogs and eat the crumbs that fall off the table. And I was happy. Man, you have no idea the amount of anger that's in my body right now at myself for allowing myself to be disrespected. Nobody disrespected me. I disrespected myself by allowing myself to be well done. Many brethren, let me make sure you understand why I speak with authority today. I don't take no shits off nobody. Let me make sure you understand, brother. Make sure you understand, sister. because that means that you are born with the same parents that Jesus got. This word brethren in the original text, let me play it for you again, because this is what you are.
Strong's G80, Adelphos, Adelphos.
You are Adelphos. So from today forward, you need to freaking walk around like an Adelphos. That means you have the natural ancestor. That means that you belong to the same class. That means you got the same genetic code. That means that you're born with the same two parents. That so whoever Yahushua's father and mother is, that means that they are your father and they are your mother too. That means that you are a fellow man. You're not subservient to. That means that you are equal to. That means you are a fellow brethren. That means you are an associate in an employment or office. Let me say that again. That means that you are a fellow associate in the employment or the office. Let me say that again. That means that you are a fellow associate. Fellow associate. Joint heir, brother. Royal priest. That means that you are a bond. You are united one with the other. A joint heir. Now, I don't know if it gets any clearer than that. That's what you are. That's your original design. Now, right now, like me, we've all settled for some other bullshitness. But that's not your original design. That was not God's original intent. Just because that's where you are, that's not what God is saying. That's where he wants you to be. So, again, these are the seven keys that was taken from you. Those seven keys again, according to the book of Romans 8:29. Number one, God foreknew you. Number two, God predestined you. Number three, God conformed you. Number four, God conformed you so that way you can be in this image. Now, right now, I don't know whose image you're in. You're in somebody else's image. Like me, you watch too much TV, you did this. When I was a kid, I wanted to be in the image of, you know, I wanted to be a football player. Then I wanted to be this. Then I wanted to be that. Nowhere did the image of being in the Son of God come into my brain. That was never a goal of mine. What do you think my goal is now, brother? What do you think my goal is now, sister? My goal is to be conformed to the image of the Son, the S-U-N and the S-O-N. Everywhere I go, I should be just like the Son. I should bring light, I should bring warmth, and I should bring growth because I am made in the image and the likeness of the Son. Why? Because he's the firstborn, first in a new series of many brethren, many brethren. Not one, not two, not three, many. You are many. You are one of those many. Now, everybody else is going to tell you something different. I don't know what they're smoking, what they're drinking, whatever. All I know is the God that I serve, the frequency that I'm in tune with, it retuned and it regened me. There is something that's running through my veins right now that is abnormal. We'll put it that way. Because everybody else I talk to, they on a different frequency than me. What does that mean? That means, again, like Philippians 1:6 says, and there's a plethora of scriptures. I'm trying to close. I'm hurrying up. That means, brothers and sisters, that now you possess privileges of the eldest son because you are foreordained to be conformed to his image. Right now, as I'm speaking, you are growing in likeness. And as you grow in likeness, you grow in possessing all of the privileges of that likeness. That includes kingdomhood. That includes royalty. That includes priesthood. That includes all of the power. That includes love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. As you grow in frequency, in consciousness, in awareness, you start to act on quantum consciousness, Christ consciousness, universal consciousness. That means now you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you don't feel no evil. That means all who rise against you shall fall. That means no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means, my brothers and sisters, you can ask anything and your Father will give it to you. That means that you ask and it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. God knows exceedingly, God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. Brothers and sisters, when you start to understand whose you are and who you are, you carry yourself like a king because you are a king. Now, he's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. I'm a king. So are you. I'm a lord. so are you. But he's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And it's that understanding that makes you a part of the messianic kingdom. And you are firstborn, which is called prototikos. That means that you are of the highest of the kings on earth. Remember I talked about the show I did a few days ago? Your highest level of service. Let's close with this. Psalms 89, verse 27. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of every person that's listening to this show, today, live, and any time in the future, that they may see what thus says the word of God, and they may walk in the true power of their anointing. Psalms 89, verse 27. Psalms 89, verse 27. Father, touch the minds of your people. And I will appoint him to be my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. Brothers and sisters, you have been appointed to be among the firstborn, the first fruits, that you will be one of the most exalted kings, plural, more than one, of this planet. Your king, your royalty. You've been called, you've been justified, you've been sanctified, and you've been glorified. Carry yourself accordingly. My brothers, my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set-apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.